Letters to Daniel, Volume 2, Letter 8-9, Angels, Part 1, First Revelation. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2012, in the third month, on the 26th day of the third month. The book of Hebrews does an excellent job of clarifying what the relationship of obedient angels are to Christ and His people. My own experience falls within the guidelines of Scripture where it says to, quote, test the spirits, whether they are of God, unquote. The book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1, which thing I have done ad nauseam. I stated earlier that the Lord Jesus revealed to me in ways I could understand who His angels are that He designated for me to work with. So it is, as I begin to report these stories, that the reader and or hearer must understand that Jesus of Nazareth, according to the scriptures called the Holy Bible, is my Savior and our Supreme Lord and King. The Holy Spirit is our immediate supervisor, or Lord, on earth. See 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. So, now I will begin to explain as the Lord leads what I know regarding my personal interaction with angels. But before I do that, I must bring something else up. Many years ago, before the motorcycle wreck and for a good long while after that, I would hear these words in my mind. Deception is the hallmark of the last days. And so it has been as I have studied the scriptures concerning my sudden exposure to angels and the spirit realm, that I have a certain sense of skepticism, perhaps even like Thomas. I have never doubted Jesus as who the scripture declares Him to be, and I have never doubted the work and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But this angel stuff? Well, but it could be said that I have since acquired more peace about the relationship I have with OTHs, see footnote. Once I began to write these letters and have had time to reflect on the work of Jesus and His life in me. 1999 was a year of remarkable revelation when Jesus really made His presence known to me in ways I previously didn't know existed. But what's interesting is that some years after that, He withdrew His immediate presence in order so that I might learn more from His angels, and after that, leading us to study the scripture in depth. The Holy Spirit, of course, has always been present, yet He has promoted my closeness to the two angels that I relate with daily while seeming to take a lesser presence. There is a scripture that the Lord made prominent to me a while ago. It is this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. Indeed, and it seems as though, at least in some fashion, that my function and form with Gabe and Gabriella is referring to that which is underlined above. You also have in your possession a document that I wrote many years ago that, unbeknownst to me, at the time was describing this relationship. I don't remember all the words, but I think I can remember the first line of the poem I wrote about a vision. I remember when a vision came, two gleaming swords of equal length. And then it said something about them being wielded in his nail-pierced hands. Then he dashes the two swords together, but they are yet still two swords, but one hilt. Then a third sword grows between the two. As I look, I see that the metal of the third sword appears weak from being forged in a faulty manner. But then I am instructed to look closer, and I am given the knowledge that the new sword is stronger than even than any of its predecessors. I thought the vision was about something else, but it turns out it was about the writer of these letters. We are a sign and bear a message referring the hearers to the Word made flesh and the whole counsel of God in these last days, the Josiah generation that we have been praying for. In letter 23, I mentioned how I came to know about the angel I called Gabe and how he stated that he was referred to in Scripture. Now I would like to discuss a little more about the other angels I know. For the record, it was Jesus who first introduced me to Gabe. After that, Gabe was given the go-ahead to introduce me to a bunch more angels. The next angel I met was Gabriella, sister to Gabriel. I guess that makes her Gabe's cousin. She and Gabe go way back and have been a team since before the creation of Adam and Eve. Sometime after that, I remember seeing in the kitchen two spirits. By that time, I had learned to trust Gabe somewhat, so I asked him who they were. Marcus and Luciferion, he said. Later on, I met Jesse, who rebelled and was replaced by Maya. But what was even more amazing is meeting the Holy Spirit in person, both in spirit and quote, in the flesh, end quote, as it were. In the spirit, the Lord seems neither male nor female, but in the flesh I have met the Lord appearing both as a man and as a woman. During these times, Gabe would explain who was who and what was going on, such as the time at Sammamish State Park. Over time, I learned that each angel has a predominant message from Father God and his Son. Maya's message is hope, Galatians 5:1-5. She is also a warrior and has charge of a rather large contingent of soldiers. Mark's message, James 3:17, is the wisdom of God, and Luke's message, 1 Peter 3:15, is the reason of God. Gabriella represents the purity of God, 1 Timothy 5:2, and carries that message by all of Scripture, sorely needed in this dirty world. And Gabe, Revelation 18:1, is throughout the Bible, most notably the angel that brought the revelation of Jesus Christ message to John on Patmos. He represents the majesty of the King. Gabe is an enigma. At first he seemed to emanate regality, so I attributed to him the representation of the majesty of Christ the King. On the other hand, He likes to talk, sometimes a little too much. So when that happens, Mark and or Luke, wisdom and or reason, step in to put the brakes on. Even so, any chance for humor will be taken quite liberally. The Lord choreographed my introduction to angels very precisely. I remember just before I moved to the job at G2, I was out walking on the trail when two bicyclists, one appearing male and one female, rode onto the bridge where I was at and stopped. We exchanged greetings and I began to ask who they were because they were very much a matched set. Both had very thick glasses on and both bikes had a rack bag with a red cross on the side, like a first aid kit. They said that they rode the trail taking care of people that might get hurt. After they left, I noted again just how much of a matched set they were. A little too much to be normal. Another time, I met a young male-female couple on the trail with some small dogs. They both had matching polo shirts that said Hoist Stream, and I asked if that's where they worked. They acknowledged that they had worked there previously. I invited them to come to my house so their dogs could meet our little dog. They did so, and Em and I chatted with them a little bit on the front porch. Another time, after I had met Gabe and Gabriella, we had gone for a walk down to the beachfront property so I could escape the direct assault of the enemy. On our way back, I could tell they had left because up till that point, I could feel their presence close by me on either side. Less than a minute later, I noticed a man and woman walking together along the road toward me. The man looked to be in his late 40s with a graying beard. As we got closer, I said hello. I remember the man saying, with a beaming smile, that it was going to be a good day. Another time was at Praise Tree. I had gone there to pray and walk. Around some bushes came a male and female couple. The lady had the reddest hair I've ever seen. The man seemed normal, but perhaps a little intoxicated. I sort of got the idea they just might be Gabe and Gabriella. So I said to them with a joking smirk, "I think you're Bonnie and Clyde, reincarnate." The guy, who said his name was Pike Bishop, responded with a slight drunken slur, "Clyde, that guy was an impotent." A little later, he turned to the rocky peak of Praise Tree and flew the bird. I asked him why he did that, and he said that someone up there just gave him the finger. I asked how he could see that far away. He said something like, "Oh, I can see real well." After that, he pulled out a little whiskey bottle out of his pocket, offered me a sip, I declined, and told the story. All the while, Gabriel was making good natured but sometimes zingy comments on Gabe's behavior, as if they were a married couple. All these things had meaning to me personally. We parted company shortly after that exchange, but I learned that angels like to have fun, and I also learned that even though Praise Tree had been liberated by decree, the actual process of removing the enemy took some time. It was one of Satan's birds that flipped off Gabe. He was just returning the sign language for scripture where it says, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." The book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 20. Those are some of the recollections I currently have that stand out, at least that I have not already written about. It occurs to me as I write this that the appearance of angels as male/female couples may be the Lord's way of reaffirming his message of the scripture where Jesus says, "From the beginning it was not so, but he created them male and female, so that his people will have divine comfort in the Lord's divine reassertion of his image being revealed in his male/female creation. Even now, as the Western world is given over to the reprobate mind as a punishment for their willful neglect of knowing God as Creator, he is jealous for his image." Perhaps this style of angelic visitation will occur throughout the church and Western culture, bringing comfort to us, while the Romans 1:24-32 judgment is being poured out upon the whole world. Blessings. Romanus Theophilus. Footnote. OTH equals other than human.
Your key.